League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Angie.
Patty.
Do you ever get ulcers?
Wow, okay. Going straight in. Not very often, no.
I get them a lot.
Oh.
Yeah, cold sores and ulcers.
Cold sores, yes. Bastard
got
things.
I've got a bastard ulcer at the moment on the side of my tongue. And it's
Bongella.
Really...
on your tongue? No.
Yes, on my tongue, yeah.
Oh, they're not ulcers though, are they? They're called something. They're called canker sores.
No, isn't a canker sore a cold sore?
No. I don't think so, anyway.
I think this is an ulcer. Anyway,
yes,
I have had so many messages from people who were there at our live recording last Sunday and who weren't there, who have just said they loved it.
I know. I mean, we haven't really had much of a debrief, have we, Pat?
You and I haven't. No, how did you find it?
Oh, I absolutely bloody loved it.
Loved it, mate.
I loved it. I was I was really, really nervous beforehand. Really feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't quite know how this is going to go. Yeah. What if it's shit? What if no one laughs? And probably the first 10 minutes or so, 10 to 15, I did not feel in my groove.
No, oh no.
I did not feel in my groove at all. No. Hopefully that did not come across.
In your groove armadas.
I did not feel in my groove armadas. But then... like it's almost like a switch. In fact, I think I said it. I thought, oh, I'm relaxed now.
Oh yeah, you were very much into your like. I feel like I'm in this now. Do you know? I think where you settled was when you'd done your first jingle.
First jingle. I think that was on my mind.
Might have been, yeah.
I think I was like, how is the jingle going to go down? Are people going to get the fact that it's Drake? Hotline Bling. You know. And once I'd sort of belted that first one out, bang, bosh, I'm in the room doing this shit, big time, live, massives.
Do you know what I found lovely listening back to the episode? Hearing the laughter.
Yes, same.
Yeah, it was so, there were some real raucous moments.
There was.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that you just do not have a clue about when you record it without an audience and you just put it out on a Wednesday morning. You have no idea which parts people really do find funny or resonate with or get a reaction to.
I think what came through very clearly is that I give you too much hassle for the backstory.
Yes, you do. You just, all the time, you're like, right, Anne, shut up now. This is boring now. This is shit now. Look. You know, I am very happy to accept that I need to clip the backstories.
Yes, okay? For sure.
But let's not forget, Patty, that in that room last Sunday night, a week ago Sunday, when I asked, do people love the backstory, there was a big cheer for the backstory.
I know, but I think...
Now, I know they might have been lying. I know... They might have been thinking, Angie's shitting herself. Let's not make this worse.
Yeah.
And boo the backstories.
Let's boo the backstories.
So I realise they might have been lying.
I mean, sometimes I listen back to our episodes and I'm like, this backstory's too long.
I know. And I know we've said this for a while. But yeah. I really am Mal.
Oh, God.
Because Mal loves a backstory.
In so many things, you are Mal.
I know.
You're really turning into Mal.
I know. Yeah. I'm quite concerned.
Me too. Me too. I think, you know, I think there's a lot of really great stuff in Mal. But
backstories is not one of them.
No, backstories is, you know, you'll be eating salads at Italian restaurants soon. You'll be saying things like, oh, not, no. Ooh. Your mum and I have... Dad loves saying, your mum and I have given up bread. No, we just stopped taking all bread on board. We've given it up. We have our porridge for breakfast. We have half an almond for lunch. And we have something carb-free. And mum's in the background going, I stuffed 3 sandwiches earlier. Mum's got a secret stash of bread.
Well, when she comes over here on a Tuesday, she is ramming bread down her throat.
She's telling Dad she's going out to meet people from church. She's not. She's going for a sandwich.
She's going to ram bread. She's going for a bread ram.
She's got people on the estate that just are giving her bread.
Yeah, they're her bread suppliers.
Anyway, I saw this funny thing. You know, we talked about the Binfluencer.
Yes.
A few weeks ago. Well, I saw this funny thing on Instagram this week that said, the old couple on our street who put their bin out first are on holiday. There's blue bins out, there's green bins out. Someone 2 doors down has gone brown. It's fucking carnage.
It's true, though.
Yeah, those Binfluencers go away and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Maybe everyone hasn't got a clue what bins you're on.
What it is. Oh, I think it's brown. No, I don't think it is. I think it's blue. And you've got multicoloured bins.
Multi bins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because the old couple have gone away.
The Binfluencers.
The Binfluencers of the street.
I also saw this thing that said wedding invites. They're always like, hey guys, we reserved you a block of hotel rooms at a discounted rate of £3,000 a night. So book soon. No kids, so please leave them at home or in the car. Also, the closest airport is 4 hours away. Can't wait to celebrate with you guys.
Again, accurate.
Yeah, you get those invites. It's like, don't worry, there's a hotel on site. Yeah. We've got a discounted price of £380.
Yes.
And the nearest train station or taxi rank, it's actually in a barn in the middle of nowhere.
But we really look forward to seeing you and sure you bring us a gift.
Don't bring your kids. And we don't want gifts. We just want a shed load of cash.
Just hard cash, please. If you don't mind, here's a little bank transfer. Our account number, chuck it in there.
Chuck it in.
Yeah. We don't want any other giftage.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to just go to the Maldives. Now, I just wanted to talk to you about Bake Off. Well, it is kind of about Bake Off. Oh, no, backstorying. Okay, it is sort of about Bake Off.
Guys.
Right, because have you noticed some of the jargon words that they use for things that they're baking? You know, they're doing like, I don't know, they're doing a sponge week or something.
And it's a Genoese.
Genoese.
Yeah. It's a Genoese sponge.
Right. Now, when I watched it last week. Creme pat.
Yeah, creme pat.
Do you know you can also get a creme diplomat?
Yeah, creme diplomat, yeah. Yeah.
Which I found very amusing.
That's funny, yeah.
You can also do a strawberry bavoir.
Yeah, bavoir.
Croque-en-bouche?
What's that?
Croque-en-bouche. I think it might be sort of something to do with profiteroles sticking on the outside of things or something.
Oh, right. have you noted these down? Because this is hilarious.
I have. I've got a note. I've got notes on my phone. Bake Off shit.
That is so funny.
I've got other, you know, tits. I've got dicks. I've got a load of shit on my phone.
I've got dick pics.
I've got a lot of tips. I've got a lot of dicks. I've got a lot of tits. I've got a lot of Bake Offs. Bake Offs.
Okay, so you've got your creme diplomat. What was the other one you just said?
Croque-en-bouche.
Croque-en-bouche, yeah.
No, not croque-en-bouche. I just snorted.
I know.
That's something completely different.
What was it called then?
Croquembouche.
Oh, Croquembouche.
Croquembouche.
Yeah.
I mean, I've written it down exactly how you sound it. So yeah. I've not written it right, but Croquembouche. But I've literally just got strawberry bavois. So I was thinking, you know, if I was on Bake Off, which I'm never going to be because I'm shit.
Yeah.
But I would love it if Paul came to me and said, "Hi there, Ange, what are you going to do for us today?" And I'll say, "Oh, actually today, Paul, I'm going to do a strawberry bavois alongside a croquembouche with a bit of creme pat, also creme diplomat on a Genoese, finishing off with a meringue bomb."
With a meringue bomb. They love a meringue bomb.
I didn't even know what a meringue bomb was.
Yeah, they love them.
But yeah, they were bombing everything last week. No,
I haven't seen last week's.
Oh, it's a good one.
Bombing. But my favourite woman went, what's her name? Saku.
Saku,
I loved her.
She was brilliant.
Yeah, she's gone now.
She had a bad week though.
Did she? I bet that was secretly quite funny.
It was very funny because she finds it funny.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When things start to go wrong with Saku, she would laugh along, wouldn't she?
Yes. Yeah. She'd sort of have like a nervous laugh.
Yeah,
my croquembouche has fallen apart. Ah, yeah. Like, no, Saku, this is not funny.
It's not funny.
You're going home, love, if you don't pull this out of the bag.
If you don't get that meringue bomb done, you're off.
Yeah, and you don't shove a bit of creme diplomat everywhere.
Creme diplomat, that is...
Isn't it?
Talking about diplomats, although this person isn't diplomatic, we never really talk about politics, but I do have to say, I'm pleased Suella Braverman is gone. I am over the moon that Cruella is gone.
Cruella, the bloody woman, has gone. Do you know what? She just was horrible.
Oh, awful.
Wasn't she?
Awful.
Oh,
she just didn't care.
No.
Like, it's really hard for me to look at politicians and I think, I absolutely don't think you came in to make a difference. I think whatever party you stand for, I think on the whole, most politicians, and they might get, you know, I'm not saying that every politician is perfect, but I think on the whole, most people step into politics to say, I want to try and make a difference to my community.
Yes.
I don't look at her and think, there's no part of me that thinks you wanted to make a difference at all.
No, absolutely not. No.
And have you seen they've wheeled out David Cameron? He's in the cabinet now.
He's back in, isn't he?
Is he home or he's foreign secretary, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's now a baron.
Wow. We've got something in common. Cameron and I could have a coffee over both being baron.
Baron Dave and Baron Patty.
We might do a podcast. The Barons. So this dickish actually came in while we were doing the live show.
Yes.
And it came in from _ CORW.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get to it in time.
No.
But she says it's dickish when you have food on your face and no one fucking tells you until you look in the mirror. That is, it's hard though, isn't it? Because
I think it's worse if it's a bogey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is like, that's the worst.
I probably have had bogeys that I haven't known about it. But do you find there are some people that you interact with quite regularly that seem to have a lot of bogey issues?
No.
I have.
Have you? Oh, right.
It's just like, it's just the little flappy ones.
Oh, they're annoying. What, people you work with?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I don't know why. I don't know whether, I'm not even going to say the sex.
Oh, it's definitely a man. For sure.
I don't know whether this person, man, I don't know whether they just pick their nose a lot. So they don't know they've got little flaps going on.
Well, actually, talking of picking your nose, I had a really interesting message from my mother-in-law the other day.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah.
It was actually after our live show.
Yeah.
And she sent me a message saying, how did the show go on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously said it was good. She said, have you ever discussed why men think that they might wear an invisible cloak? The number of times when I'm sat in traffic, if you look around, they are all picking their bloody noses. A man was having a good rummage the other day when I was at work. I wondered afterwards what he might have touched in the store.
That is, she is so
spot on. Shout out to Jill, because spot on. Do you think they're wearing an invisibility cloak?
No, do you know what, Jill? They don't give a shit.
No, they don't care.
They're in their car. They're on their own.
Yeah.
Well, and they think, you know, that no one around them is going to look through the window.
They're having
a right good
old rummage, as she said.
I mean, Mal.
Oh, Mal.
Mal. He likes
his nose
to pick
all the time.
Yeah. And also, he really does push out the nostrils to the side when he picks.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Really, like he's. I'm like, Mal, you're going to hurt yourself.
You're going to hurt yourself, mate.
You're going to go right through your nostrils.
But have you ever. So I had this happen, actually. It wasn't food.
Right.
But. Probably about, it must be about a month ago now. Mm. Every morning I do my greens.
Of course, yes.
And it's you know, looks like pond water. Yes. So I do two different ones in the same glass. One is Berry Beauty, which is like a maroony sort of colour.
Mm.
And one is Clean Greens, which is obviously green.
Mm.
And so I literally have to hold my breath and gulp it down.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Like,
you can't take your time. No. You've got to hold your breath. You've got to go.
Straight down the hatch. Yeah.
Anyway, I was in quite a rush this morning, so I had a Teams meeting. So I got up, made it quickly, yada, yada, yada. Thought I'd wiped my face.
Oh, no, Pat.
Went on Teams, did the meeting. As soon as the meeting finished, I needed the toilet. Went for a wee, looked in the mirror, and I basically had like a Joker mouth. Where
no.
Only on one side, but it was like this maroon line. It was like halfway up. I was on this call with my manager, who I would class as a friend. She's a good friend of mine. Mm. Shout out to her. She listens every week. She's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I went into the bathroom after to do a wee, and I was like, F you, man. She could have at least sent me just a snide message. Ruth, you need to wipe your mouth.
Yeah. You've got shit round your mouth, mate.
Because it's awkward when you don't really know the person, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's when it's tricky.
And it's like, oh, she's definitely had yogurt for lunch because half of it smeared down her chin. And you can't help but stare at it, can
no,
you?
No, I know.
However
it is
much
hard.
You try.
It is hard because, and I think the thing, like you were saying then, if it's someone you know, like if I was with you or with, you know, I'd be like, Pats, you've got Pats. Shit around your mouth. You've got
and that's why I thought my manager would message me and be like, Ruth, wipe your mouth. She's my friend.
I always think you always have to do a quick check before you get on calls and shit, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, look, yes.
I thought I had.
Predominantly men are nose pickers, but, you know, we all pick our nose, don't we, Pats?
We all pick our nose.
If I've been having a bit of a rummage, you know, if I've just eaten something, I always try and just, like, check myself before I get on a call or anything. But obviously, if you're just going out and about doing your own thing, and you just bump into someone.
Did you say doing your throne
thing? Doing your throne thing.
Sitting around on thrones.
And you bump into someone in, like, you know, Eight or Owers or something that you know. And there you are with a great big, like, piece of, I don't know, cheese on your face or something.
Well, it's always when you've had something like yogurt or dairy or Marmite. Yeah. Marmite is a massive culprit.
That's a big one for me.
Marmite is
on your chin.
Or in the corners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking of yogurt being spilled, I'll never forget my best friend at school, who I'm still friends with, my oldest friend, Catherine. She's amazing. So I used to wear a navy blue tie to my secondary school, and I'd spill yogurt down every single lunchtime.
I mean, we still do that now.
And if I hadn't seen, like, maybe Catherine had been, like, playing football at lunchtime or something like that, and we got into a lesson together, she'd just sit next to me and she'd go, oh, have yogurt at lunchtime, Cords.
I spill shit down me all the
time. Oh, so do I. So does Mum.
Yeah. I actually went out the other day with, I had some soup or something at lunchtime. And I spilt a load of it down my jumper. I forgot I'd done that. Went out. I actually went into Marks and Spencer's, would you believe, with stained shit on my jumper.
Angie.
I know. I was disgusted with myself.
That's disgusting.
I came home and I thought, what must people have thought?
That is disgusting.
She should not be in these premises.
Well, you won't be surprised to hear. I went to the pharmacist a couple of weeks ago to pick some bits up from Matthew.
Yeah.
And I was in, you know, scraggly old trousers.
Yeah.
just like pajama
haggy.
Trousers. Basically.
You were haggy.
Yeah, but I thought, oh, my jumper's clean. That's fine. Look down, bean juice. Literally, like, I was in the chemist waiting, and I was like, oh, and I don't think I'd even brush my hair.
I mean, you rock going out like that a lot.
Not a lot.
You do, Patty. You.
Not a lot.
Yes,
all right, a lot. All right, I'll stop. I'll just back down a lot.
You do. I mean, I'm definitely getting more haggy the older I get.
For sure. I think by the time you get to like 55, you are not going to give a shit.
No.
Your hair's going to be frizzy.
You'll and be probably like, grey.
Yeah, I'm going to drop the makeup.
Yeah.
I'll just put a little bit of mascara on. I reckon you're going to be like in fleeces and stuff. You know, like as people, not that there's anything wrong with fleeces, but you know the type that I mean, like just really like pajama bottoms, fleece. Yeah.
Fleeces and Crocs and
you're going to look like you work in a horse stable.
I might even get some jodhpurs just to really finish off the look. Jodhpurs and Crocs.
And just have like hay in your hair. Then people will think you work in the stables.
Yeah. But then that might also be sexy. Probably not, but I can try.
Anyway, we think that's a very good dickish behaviour.
People should
tell when there's stuff around your mouth.
Yeah, stuff and bogeys. Let's be honest with people about what's going on their face. So the thing that is getting on my shitting tits is people who use the term, I've got the ick. When I hear people saying,
I've got the ick,
or he's giving me the ick, or she's giving me the ick, they give me the ick by saying that phrase. I actually just don't like it either. It's just such a horrible term.
What do you mean? Like, it's a horrible thing?
Yeah, to say like, oh yeah, well, yeah, he's doing that, so that's giving me the ick. I just don't know.
What
just
would
don't
give
like
you
it.
The ick, though? What does Ian do that does give you the ick? Is there one particular thing?
Yeah, probably, actually.
Go on, what is it?
So, Ian is, he's going to kill me for this. Ian has got some, Ian wears sort of trunk pants, you know, like, you know, sort of boxer short pants.
Yes.
Not, he's not a briefs man. He's not like Mal.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he bought some of these pants a while ago.
Right.
And basically, once he's had them on for a while, they really stretch.
Right.
So when he takes his trousers off, it actually looks like he's got a little skirt on. And when I see that, it's like him, quite often he'll still have socks on.
Yeah.
That's another massive ick, isn't it?
Like,
it is. You know, when they're like, you know, naked torso, so the nips are out, your chest hair's out. They've got skirt sort of pants on and socks.
Right.
That is not what you want to see, is
no.
it? No. You know, even the hunkiest of hunks, if they were wearing that.
Oh, I don't know. David Beckham, I think I'd be all right.
Yeah, okay, maybe, yeah. What about Mardy?
Trying to think what Mardy does that gives me the ick. I mean, there's probably loads, but, you know, when you can't pinpoint something.
I think this is a thing that you'll agree with Mardy.
Go on.
The way he holds his phone and his iPad.
Oh yeah, that is ridiculous. He makes like a little holder for it with his index finger and his thumb.
Yes.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, that
one thing that was ridiculous with Matthew that really started to get on my tits was he got massively into having a stylo.
Oh yes, no, that was
absolutely stylus. Fucking ridiculous.
The stylus.
And he would have, there'd be like loads.
Hanging around.
Once his stylo broke and he tried to make his own. And he got an old bit of like, he ripped a bit of like duster, you know, like a duster cloth.
Yeah.
And he wrapped that round the end of this stylo and he
I mean, why would you choose your finger?
And he put sellotape on it. And it was like, and I said to him, that's not going to work. It is. That's the thing that gives me the ick about Matthew. People think I'm opinionated, right? Even if he's proved wrong, he'll continue to, like, he thinks, he calls his cafe, so at work, they've got a kitchen, yeah? It's a staff room kitchen. Mm. It's got a microwave in it and a kettle and a table. It's a kitchen. He constantly calls it a canteen. And I am like, it is not a canteen. And he will continually go on about something when he knows he's got it wrong, he will continually do it to wind me up. That gives me the ick. Yeah. I get pissed off with that. And you've got a national day for us, which is a very important one. And you read a lovely poem.
I did.
Which I thought was a bit dickish. But we'll let that slide.
But it was an important thing.
It was very important. But if I'd have done that, I'd have got ripped the piss out of. So let's just put that there, right there. Okay.
Well, today is, and this is obviously Monday because we're recording it on Monday. Yes. So on Monday, it was World Kindness Day.
Yeah.
And we just thought at the end of this episode that we would just spend a few minutes talking about kindness, things that we've experienced where people have been kind to us, or things that we've done for other people that have been kind. And I think just to kind of acknowledge that the world at the moment, and probably for quite a few years now, has felt like really quite dark and heavy, you know, war going on. And I don't know, I just really felt like it's so easy to kind of forget that there are good people and that there are kind people, and that actually that goes on day in, day out, but we just don't really see it. And I just thought it was a really special thing just to acknowledge, really. So we thought we'd just talk about it.
You know, we're absolutely not political on this podcast, but I've thought a lot about the two major groups of people in this country, Palestinians and Jewish people, and how both of those communities are feeling incredibly hurt, even the people that live in this country and are not involved in the conflict, but the rise in Islamophobia and the rise in anti-Semitism and, you know, people feeling like it's not safe for them to go to their places of worship, those things that are really you know, important in their lives that they're not being able to do. And I think you can become so lost in all of that. And it was really interesting, actually, because Sophie Hinchcliffe put an amazing thing on her stories yesterday. And I think there's been this sort of desire that everybody should share what's going on and should have an opinion of it. And I think that can become more divisive, if I'm honest. But she said, I'm absolutely heartbroken by what's happening, but I refuse to trigger people even more by sharing those very abhorrent scenes and then waking up and going onto my page, which isn't known for that,
exactly,
and seeing something that is going to set them up. And actually, that is kind, isn't it, to think through, actually, what is my Instagram about? She's got a huge following. What is my page about? What is it that people come to this space for? I don't want somebody to wake up first thing in the morning and click my stories and be aghast that they've seen really awful images of war. And it doesn't mean that we're desensitized to it, or that we're not looking at it ourselves, or we're not desperately sad. And she was sort of saying, this is a page that I want to just spread kindness, and I want it to be a safe place for people to come, but please know I am seeing it, I am watching it, I am heartbroken by it. And I think everybody's social media is for them to do with as they wish.
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, if people want to share that stuff and they feel very compelled to share it, especially if they're part of one of those communities that we've spoken about, I get it. But I just think you can become so embroiled in the hatred, can't you? Like, it's everywhere.
And I think that's why sometimes it is important, and obviously today was a great day for us to talk about it, because it was kind of World Kindness Day. And I think it's really important that in amongst all of that, that is so readily now available to us on TVs, on our phones, on computers, on, you know, it's just everywhere, that you kind of do keep in mind that isn't that's not the narrative of most people.
No.
You know, most people are good, most people are kind, most people want to kind of help others. Yeah. And you know, you just kind of, and I think sometimes it's almost like the little things that actually you can quite easily not recognize that are like, last week I had to go to the post office. I had this letter that I had to take. I'd already put a stamp on it thinking, oh, yeah, it's just a first class stamp. Get to the post office. And the guy says, no, you can't use that. Those stamps aren't valid anymore. I was like, oh, bollocks. Anyway, I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything with me. I'd literally just nipped up the road to post this. And I said, I'm going to have to go home and get my purse and this and the other. And the guy next to me, he just said, do you need a first class stamp? I was like, yeah. And he goes, here you go, just have mine. And it was like, it doesn't even have to be big things. It doesn't have to be like, you know, huge extravagant or people being, it's like noticing those little moments where people have just been kind in that moment. And that guy just giving me a stamp, I was like, are you sure? He's like, it's £1.25. It's fine. Have a stamp. But it was just kind. It was kindness. And
I think it's interesting because I'll never forget lad, you know, lad baby and lad baby mum, that they themselves, I mean, they do loads of stuff for the Trust and Trust, and they themselves were found in some really, really difficult situations where before they became well known.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Roxy sharing on her, Mark was sort of talking to her about what their life used to be like. And she shared that she was at the till in a supermarket and she had bought pasta and nappies and I think Cowpol or something, you know, they were all very, very necessary items.
Yes.
And she only had £20 and it was £22.50. And she stood at the till and she was like, I don't know what I'm going to put back. And the guy behind her said, here's £2.50.
I know.
And she said, I will never, ever, ever forget that that man. I think the instinct in most of us is to say that person is in need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I could probably do a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
That's going to
make
help.
A huge difference.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I think as well, it is just smiling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really like, I really sort of now think about when I'm out and about and, you know, and on a train or just like smiling at people.
You are a really smiley person though, aren't you?
I am, yeah, and I just think that's...
You are really, like...
My natural kind of instinct is to smile.
You are a very smiley person.
Yeah, it's because I've got big cheeks.
You've got big cheeks.
I've got big cheeks. Yeah. But I just think things like that, and I think if everybody just did that a little bit more, just kind of, just smile, just kind of... And not only does that sometimes help brighten someone else, but I actually think it helps brighten yourself sometimes. So, yeah, just wanted to acknowledge the kindness that there is in the world.
Nice chat. Nice ending chat. Very nice.
There we go.
Well, there we are. We're at the end of another episode.
Yes.
Remember, there's loads of ways that you can get in touch with Ange and I. Ange and I are both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Gordon. Ange is at Ange Gordon.
You can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok and YouTube. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
Or you can send us an email, findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. And Ange and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.